The Wuhan lab leak theory is back in the limelight, and US President Joe Biden has ordered an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. The president says the US intelligence community has, quote, coalesced around two likely scenarios, end quote, but has not reached a definitive conclusion on the origin of the virus. Professor Michael Imperiali is a virologist at the University of Michigan. He is on the line now, joining us live from the US. Professor Imperiali, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with your view here. Was the outbreak a result of a leak or sloppy or malicious science or a lab leak? Or was it as a result of just a natural break in the environment? What is your view?
I think I'm certain that it was not anything malicious. Right now, all of the scientific evidence points towards a natural event. But there's increasing amount of circumstantial evidence that there may have been an accident in a laboratory that could have resulted in the virus escaping. And so I think that's why more attention is being paid to that right now, and we need to learn more about the situation.
Why has this increase in speculation and, I guess, challenge occurred, Michael?
I think the increase in speculation occurred because of rumors that were going around over the past month or so that some individuals who were working in the laboratory came down with a COVID-like illness very early on, so sort of late fall of 2019. So I think that has kind of increased the awareness of this potential issue. Of course, we don't know. They could have been ill with anything else. They could have, even if it was COVID, they could have contacted it in the community. It had nothing to do with the laboratory. But there are enough unknowns right now that additional questions need to be asked.
You said recently, I think, that the delta between the nature evidence and lab escape evidence appears to be shrinking. And you mentioned circumstantial evidence previously or just recently. What is that circumstantial evidence that has caused the delta between nature and lab escape to decrease in your mind?
So the first is what I just mentioned, these individuals who became ill. The second is that we know that laboratory was studying bat coronaviruses, but we don't know all the details of exactly which viruses they were studying and such. And we don't know what experiments they were doing. So without that information, it's a little bit hard to know whether we can rule out the laboratory as a potential source of the virus.
That's right. You do say preponderance of evidence still points towards a natural origin. If so, what is the natural origin or natural point of origin in your view?
Yeah. So, as is the case with the other coronaviruses that have, caused outbreaks in the past 20 years, the first SARS and MERS, it's pretty clear that bats are a source of coronaviruses. But it appears that before these viruses can infect humans, they have to move through an intermediate host. And so in the case of SARS, it was a civet. With MERS, it was camels. And right now, we really don't know what that intermediate host may have been for SARS-CoV-2, although there is some evidence that some of the features of this virus are similar to viruses that have been isolated from pangolins.
Michael, why is it important to know what the natural point of origin or even what the intermediate origin point may have been?
So I think let's maybe separate those two out. I think it's important to know if it were a lab event, because what that would say is that we have to pay much more attention to lab safety to prevent this type of accident from occurring in the future, because we have to be able to continue to study these viruses because of the fact that they can cause such severe disease. And so we have to be able to learn more about them so we could develop new therapeutics, develop new methods for surveillance. Now, if it really were a natural event, then that says we have to up our surveillance efforts to really try to be able to potentially predict when a virus that's out there in nature may have the proper attributes to be able to jump into humans and cause disease.
Can we ever definitively know, definitively prove what the natural point of origin was, or what the point of origin was, Michael?
We may not be able to. So, for example, it could be that this particular virus arose in an animal host, and then it sort of disappeared. It jumped into humans, and then it disappeared from those animals, right? Because it was not fit for causing disease or replicating in those animals, and so it's no longer in the animal population, right? So maybe only by looking at previously collected samples might we be able to figure that out. So it may be very, very difficult.
I want to come back to a point you made just before that around the fact that we must continue to study and to research. How many laboratories are there in the world at the moment that are conducting research, undertaking research, investigation at the moment on similar viruses, if there are any at all, do you know?
I don't know an exact number. So certainly the number of laboratories studying coronavirus has increased in the past year and a half just because of the pandemic, but I really don't know the number.
And so therefore, Michael, there are obviously a number of strict security guidelines that are happening at the moment. Has there been a change, do you know, in the way in which the security mechanisms have been undertaken as a result of what may have happened in the Wuhan lab? Have lessons been learned already, do you know, Michael?
I would hope so. You know, if I were working with one of these viruses right now, I would be ensuring that we are following all the proper protocols because, you know, we want to make sure that this type of event does not come out of a laboratory, right? That's preventable. And so I think we have to pay attention to these things.
Is there a chance that if we don't, I guess not definitively know, but if we don't know enough about how this occurred, we could find ourselves in a similar situation in 10 or 20 years' time with a similar type of virus outbreak, do you think?
I would hope that if this occurred again in 10 or 20 years' time, that we wouldn't have to worry about laboratory escape and that we could really focus our efforts on, you know, where are these viruses hiding out in the wild and what's causing them to jump into humans.
How long might it take for this investigation to be undertaken that President Joe Biden has been talking about?
Well, I believe that he asked the intelligence community to carry out this investigation within 60 or 90 days, if I remember correctly. I'm sure that the intelligence community has been looking into this all along, but I don't know, you know, what types of evidence they're looking for. I don't know what, you know, capabilities they have, right? I'm sure a lot of that is classified. And that raises another question, which is when they come to their conclusion, how open are they going to be able to be such that people will be convinced of whatever their conclusion is?
That's going to be an interesting point, isn't it, when those results come out? Because as you said, if we can't definitively make a conclusion here, you know, potentially you still have the split in opinion whereby people will still believe what they believe now, no matter what the results come up with. What might the implications of that be, if any at all, do you think?
That's a great question. You know, unfortunately, at least here in the U.S., like everything else, science has become politicized. And I think that we're going to have to deal with that to a large degree. But as I indicated earlier, I think really what this says to me is that we have to continue to carefully study these viruses, understand more about where they are present in nature, understand more about what the attributes are of these viruses that would allow them to jump into humans. And as we understand more, we may be able to be better at predicting a spillover before it occurs and maybe be able to intervene.
Michael, I'm interested in that comment that science has become politicized. I think the international perspective was that that was certainly the case under the former president, but there has been a noticeable change an approach. We've seen the recent announcements from President Biden in terms of support for third world countries to get access to vaccines and equipment and the like. So the perspective is that is changing. But obviously what you're saying here is that there is still very much the politicization of science going on, and two very strong points of views for and against here. Is that going to be an ongoing impact, do you think, for the United States for a long time to come?
I don't know how long it's going to be an impact, but I think it is an impact. I mean, the other thing that, you know, with respect to the virus has become politicized here in the U.S. is vaccination, right? Where many of the, individuals who have supported our former president tend not to believe in vaccination for this virus, whereas those who support President Biden in general do support vaccination. So I think it's something that right now we have to deal with here in the U.S., and I don't know how that's going to play out.
Michael, we thank you very much for coming on the program this morning. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Professor Michael Imperiali there. He is a virologist at the University of Michigan.